finally somebody's cleaning up after me.
What?
I've been waiting for so long. Just anybody.
I've been waiting for a Joe like you to get me through my life.
This is all 100% accurate.
And that's why it's recording. Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With
yes.
your host,
Salsa,
James,
and Jenna.
What are we drinking? Because fuck it, we're getting straight into this. What are we drinking?
I am drinking from the leftover booze. I have a super fun one. It's called Figenza.
Figenza.
It's Mediterranean fig-flavored vodka.
Figenza. Fig-flavored vodka. Okay.
That sounds Figenza. Pretty great, actually.
Yeah. I'm a fan
of their Newtons.
I have possibly, in cheating, mixed it with a Dr. Pepper. So I expect this to be like alcoholic Dr. Pepper, really.
Yeah.
But let's see how it works.
That is what the doctor has ordered.
I would not be surprised if fig was one of the Dr. Pepper flavors, honestly.
Oh, I believe it is, yeah. Also, that's actually really, really good. Mm. It tastes like Dr. Pepper, but like more open.
Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that sure as fuck worked. So.
Well, all right.
Yeah. All right, so that's what I'm drinking.
You, the imposter in our midst. What are you drinking?
We have.
James looks kind of sus.
True.
He looks sauced.
We have mixed dragon's milk and tin whiskers porter to make. Whatever the fuck this is. Whatever it is, it's delicious.
Mm-hmm. All right, then.
All right, and you mixed what again?
Tin whiskers, porter, okay. And dragon's milk, stout.
Okay.
So it's creamy but light and refreshing.
Cool.
And slightly chocolatey and coffee-like.
Excellent. I am drinking a White Christmas.
I'm drinking...
Which is... Kahlua and eggnog, or what?
It's a White Russian with eggnog instead of instead of cream.
That sounds amazing. I wish I had remembered.
I'm glad I did.
You kids and your eggnog.
I'm glad that you did too. Ah, yes.
So are we going to address that creepily unhirsute elephant in the room?
There's an elephant in this room? It's pretty empty.
I mean, there's plenty. There's enough flesh to cover an elephant going on over there on that screen.
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about, Salsa.
I'm talking about the creepy dude that's in James' seat.
There's always a creepy dude in
that's
James'
also
seat.
Correct.
Yeah, that's accurate.
All right, apparently we're not going to talk about it. So my daughter...
James!
No, we're not going to talk about it, apparently. So
this weekend we had... God damn it, okay.
Now we're going to.
My daughter's hockey practice this weekend, we had one of her game days. She got to play her first game of the season.
Oh.
Which means I got to stay in the arena. Woo! Because what we've been doing all season... For practices is one parent is allowed in the arena with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
We're allowed to get them, you know, suited up and everything like that. And then we have to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And we're allowed back in the arena 10 minutes before the end of practice to come pick up our kid.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I'm glad Lilibeth has already done this for a couple years, because if this was her first year, I would not have been able to... my heart would not have been able to handle not being there.
That would be difficult, yeah.
But because Sunday was her first game, and what they're doing this year is all of their games are kind of intra, whatever. It's the program. Mm-hmm. Instead of playing against teams from other programs, all of their mm-hmm. games are going to be within the same program, so that if anything does happen, that it's relatively contained.
It's a good idea. Yeah.
There's an app that we have for sporting events. It's an app that we've mm-hmm. used in the past that's basically for like figuring out who's going to you RSVP that you're going to be there and stuff like that. But this year they're using that app for contact tracing just in case. So.
That's so really good.
Yeah, they're doing good stuff. I got to stay and watch her play on Sunday, and she has improved immensely. She used to pay attention. She used to just kind of skate around talking to herself 99% of the time, and then 1% of the time remember that she had like a hockey stick in her hand.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's up to about 75-25, I'd
Ooh.
Say.
Hey.
So, we're still up in the clouds most of the time. But then she'll have just these moments of brilliance where she'll suddenly go, oh, I'm playing hockey. And she'll, like, hit the gas pedal and suddenly zoom and, like, in the middle of the pack and just, you know, getting in there with her stick and really do her, mm-hmm. you know, and then breaking away and off she goes to the races and stuff like that. And then a moment later she's looking at the rafters again. Which is, I can't tell if it's better or worse for my stress levels. Because before, I just spent the Fair. Whole time frustrated that she wasn't paying attention. Now, it's like, oh, thank you, finally she's paying attention, and look how amazing she is, and we're off again. God damn it. But she's getting... I mean, obviously she's done it a couple of years. It's impossible not to get a little better. But yeah, no, she's still enjoying it a lot, and that's really the most important part. Going along with that, though, on Saturday, mm-hmm. we watched The Mighty Ducks for the first time
Ooh,
with the
nice.
Kids. It was Saturday evening, or no, Saturday afternoon, and we were like, we're going to have a family day, and we're going to watch a movie, and we were on Disney Plus, and we're like, what are we going to watch? And then we saw Mighty Ducks, and we went, yes, that's what we're watching now. And both of the kids were kind of like, you know, it's not a cartoon. Where,
right.
you know, the first 10 minutes, 15 minutes or whatever, the movie where he's like being the hotshot lawyer who's mm-hmm. told he has to do community service, the kids were just like, I don't know what's
yeah,
going
no.
on. This is boring and stupid. And then there was the scene where, like, he has to go to the ice arena for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And like he's in the ice arena, and then he walks out of the arena, and the external shot of the ice arena is Parade Ice Arena, which is where Lilibeth had practice earlier that day.
Oh wow!
And Lilibeth,
yes.
her eyes got huge, and she was like, That's where I play hockey, you know? And suddenly she was in it. Like, she was 100% invested in this movie. And Asher is that age where whatever Lilibeth is doing, he'll do the same thing too. So because she was invested, now he was invested too. And they watched the rest of the movie, loved it. loved that movie so very much. They lost their minds at the end, the hockey game at the end when they win. She was just leaping around and screaming and just had, oh yeah. No, it was really, really good. And then my wife and I got to sit him down and talk to him about, like, you know, the North Stars that you know, when
right.
when they meet Mike Madonna, what a big deal that is, you know. And and like at the end, you know, the Mighty Ducks is now a professional team, the Anaheim Ducks, and things like that, and just her eyes got bigger and bigger as just everything was happening. It was so adorable. So we haven't seen either of the sequels yet, but I posted about it on Facebook, and apparently like three other people on Saturday were like, oh, that sounds like a good idea, and proceeded to watch The Mighty Ducks.
Yeah. Absolutely.
No, that's either The Mighty Ducks or Miracle. Some people watch Mighty Ducks, some people watch Miracle. Mm. But either way, it was inspired because we watched Mighty Ducks and my kids
watched it. It was a hacky day.
Yeah. And then after the kids went to bed on Saturday, I watched Miracle. Because that's a fucking good movie.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, it's we had a thoroughly enjoyable weekend of hockey. So
nice.
Yay!
What about you, Jenna?
Oh God. I have been approved for an apartment.
Woo!
Oh yeah.
But I have not yet signed a lease. And I sent them all the info that they requested for signing a lease, like, on Saturday, and I haven't heard back yet, and I'm annoyed. Because I'm like, it's not mine till I sign a lease.
Right.
So I'm just sitting in lease limbo.
So you don't have a move-in day or anything, because you just don't have that.
No.
Lease limbo is the probably worst cruise ship game.
Lease in limbo, lease be quick. Oh, okay. This is. I'm sure our listeners are so thrilled.
Sometimes this is just for us.
Did I tell you guys that I finished Stargate?
Yeah, you posted it on Facebook that you finished Stargate, but you didn't mention it yet.
I finished all of the Stargate. I was so proud of... Okay, Joe lied to me. Because he told me we finished all of the Stargate. Which, to be clear, from my understanding, was 10 seasons of SG-1. Three movies, two of which are, like, direct-to-DVD.
Mm-hmm.
5 seasons of Stargate Atlantis, 2 seasons of Stargate Universe, and we watched all the little Kino shorts as well. Like, we watched all of the Stargate, right?
And a Partridge in a Pear Tree.
No, we didn't watch the Partridge in a Pear Tree. We also did not watch something that was apparently produced a couple years ago called Stargate Origin.
Oof.
Which is like 8 or 10 minute short episodes about the finding of the Stargate itself. Back in the 40s or whatever. And I was like, so like I was all proud and I bragged about having seen all of the Stargate. And then somebody was like, what about Origins? And I'm like, what? They're like, yeah, there's a whole other thing. And I was like, son of a bitch. And I brought this up to Joe, and he knew about it. He knew about Origins. And he was like, I don't think we need to watch that. Because it's not very good.
But it doesn't matter if it's good. If you're trying to be a completionist, you have to watch everything.
That's my point. So anyway, now I'm going to have to hunt down Stargate Origin because Joe doesn't really have any interest in seeing it because apparently the DVD sci-fi movies weren't that bad compared to what he believes that this is. Like, he thinks it's just going to be atrocious. And I'm like, okay, well,
But it doesn't matter.
I guess I'll just have to go find that. But yeah, I'm like, you lied to me. He's like, it doesn't count. I'm like, I'm pretty sure if it's a Stargate-related thing, it counts. Mm-hmm. Joe and I have weird fights as a couple. But Joe and I have pedantic fights.
You can tell Joe I'm 100% with you on this one.
Okay, good, good. I'm glad you have my back, Salsa. So anyway, I have apparently seen all of the Stargate that counts, according to Joe. But I still have that in my back pocket to pull out on a rainy day at some point. So, yeah, but did complete that. And then, like, Joe and I finished watching everything, and I was like, well, now what? Like, this has been a very big part of my life for the past couple of months.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we watched the Lego movie, which Joe had not seen prior. I knew.
Oh, dang.
And then, like, Batman.
That was so Minnesota. Holy cow.
Oh, dang.
Oh, dang.
Oh.
Oh, I heard.
Oh,
my.
For the love of Hammond, Michael.
Oh, God. Anyway. But Batman came on screen and said something Batman-y, and I was like, Joe, you're Batman. You're totally Batman. You're Lego movie Batman.
That's delightful.
He is a Lego movie Batman.
Oh, no, I'm not disagreeing with you.
Let's see, what else have I done? I don't know. I've been slowly working with Jessa on the house, getting mm-hmm. things kind of sorted and packed. I think I told you guys about the board games. Did I tell you guys about the board games?
No.
Jessa and I went through the board game collection, which is two full bookshelves of games, right? Mm-hmm. Like tall, floor-to-ceiling bookshelves. And decided who was getting which board game. We almost got into fisticuffs over cash and guns.
I believe
if only you had some way to resolve disputes in a fair test of skill and strategy.
I can only imagine. I can only imagine it was like watching my wife and her twin sister try to split up their Discworld collection when they no longer live together.
Yeah.
I can only imagine it was similar.
See, that would be so difficult because then those books are going to miss each other.
I know, right?
It was rough. It was not... Like, I had to leave the room because it was... Yeah.
Because some of that argument was going to be, like, area of effect.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. I'm very similar. Actually, most of it, because Jessa is much more about the long-term strategy games, and I'm much more about the social games.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A lot of it was pretty easy, but there were a few social games that I was like, that just, like Cash and Guns.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Where Jessa was like, I want Cash and Guns. And I was like, mm-hmm.
I will literally fight you.
What I want to see, this is what I want to see.
Okay.
I want to see a YouTube channel where you two play every game, and whoever wins the game gets the game.
That would have taken way longer than we have time for.
I don't care, but that...
I mean...
Ready for the move. No, ideally, if we had started this a year ago, we totally could have done that.
I mean, mm-hmm. it doesn't...
I suggest that the games get put into a storage...
The divvying doesn't have to be done by the time you move.
Yeah. They're maintained by a third party until claimed.
That's unlikely.
Yeah.
So anyway... but yeah, so we did that, and we've sorted through... books and DVDs There were a few of the DVDs that were like, but I want.
Yeah.
And then there were a couple I was like, you should have this one. Mm-hmm. Like, this one should be yours. No, you can't have my 80s collection, sorry.
No.
You cannot have my Mel Brooks collection.
No.
You weren't even alive in the 80s. Those are mine.
Yeah.
Kids are supposed to be about streaming. You can't have my DVDs.
And she got Fraggle Rock.
Mm.
Mm.
I mean, I suppose it's only fair.
Yeah. But I got Dark Crystal and Labyrinth, so you know, that's pretty good.
Call. Good call.
Mm-hmm.
The one that we fought over the most was Storyteller.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. That was the one that I was like, but I want it. And she was like, but I want it. And I was like, fine, your mom's a sucker.
Please tell me all of the swords were already packed.
No, they are now.
Oh, good.
Actually, we did the swords and then we did the DVDs, but we did the games before we did the swords.
Okay.
To living dangerously.
Yeah.
A little bit. I mean, all the swords, they weren't packed. They were off the hooks and everything, though.
Oh, no. That's even worse.
So,
they're just mingling.
They're just hanging out on the floor waiting to get put away.
Oh, God. Right.
Many of them, but not all of them,
sheathed. Torso. Yeah.
So yeah, that's been exciting.
Mm-hmm.
I think the next thing tomorrow we are having Merritt is going to come over. Merritt has experience with property management and maintenance, and is going to help us patch a whole bunch of screw holes that are all over the house.
Are you just using toothpaste?
Yeah, no. No.
Are you going to make like the landlord and just paint over them?
Yes. But we're going to fill them with spackle first.
I mean, I guess.
Yeah. But need to take out all of the support studs, the plastic doodads that were put in there. We took down all of the hanging things, but there's a lot of things that were not coming out easily, and this might become a bigger project than we were hoping for. But yeah, so we're doing that, and then Wednesday Jessa is actually going to go take a look at a place.
Nice.
for her possible moving into. So yeah, we've got a whole bunch of stuff happening. I need that lease.
All right.
Oh, we also need to do kitchen stuff. I need to talk to my, I guess, previous roommate to be like, hey, are there things that are still around here that you want? Because I'm gonna start.
It's a good question.
Shoving shit out a door.
Mm-hmm.
Some way, shape, or form. So
it's a very good question.
Yeah.
Thankfully, she's a podcast listener. So.
Oh, good. I mean, I was just going to message her.
I feel like having her listen to the podcast is definitely the most direct
and
logical route.
Yeah. No, I was. It was. Like, I just started podcast from being over at the house when Jess and I were talking about, like, what are we doing? What are we splitting up? What are we... Is any of this stuff still stuff that... I don't know. Like, there was a lot of it, but I'm not sure. We should probably check and make sure we don't get rid of anything that's important to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But... getting a lot of that sorted through because I told you guys Joe is hiring a mover for me, right?
No.
No? Joe's hiring a mover for me because He feels like, as a boyfriend, he should help me move, but he doesn't want to do any of the work of packing or moving things. So he was just like, can I hire a mover for you? And I was like,
I feel like that's...
Yes, you can.
Legitimate.
That way he feels like he's doing his job as a supportive boyfriend, helping with the move, and also not hurting his back in his old age. So, you know. She said being 3 years older than him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But we want to have the movers stop by like the first weekend of December, which means I need to know what's being moved.
Yeah.
So.
Hmm.
Sure.
If only there were an easy way to get in touch with your former roommate.
Well, like I said, I'm going to message her.
Mm-hmm.
That's happening. God.
I love that that's the most direct route.
Is messaging my former roommate?
Uh-huh.
What other direct... I'm not coming over.
No. If only one of us...
It's a ramp, James.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, yes, I could ask you to talk to her about it, but I can also just message her directly so
you
that
can.
We're not literally playing the newest version of telephone out there.
That's true.
I feel like I owe it to her to have conversations with her and not through you.
Fair enough.
Big hearts.
Big hearts.
Oy.
But yeah, once we get everything sorted, I've just started putting all of my stuff in one very specific spot. So then once we do have movers that come and be like, all of these things and this and this and this and like
everything inside the tape lines.
Kind of. Not actually.
Everything
a tape line.
Light touches.
What about
Matata?
That dark place over there?
No, that all belongs to my former roommate.
I was actually going to guess Jessa, but, you know, whatever.
I mean, also that, but, you know. I mean, she is about to be your former roommate.
She is. She's right now. She's like ghost roommate. Just like, but like friendly, like Casper.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely.
It's like every once in a while, like, hey, and I was like, oh my god, you still exist. That's great. But yeah. So I've got to get through that kitchen stuff, which is going to be an adventure. But
yeah.
Because there's a lot of kitchen stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
James.
What I got?
James, you going to say
so
anything,
many things.
Or are we going to take a break?
So my face is naked.
And we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Genuinely fine with that.
Hey, James, tell me about your face.
What is wrong with your face?
I'm going to be in lockdown.
Because
of the intensifying lockdown, I'm going to be more locked down. And I have been wanting to remember what it's like to not have facial hair.
Yeah,
and
did you
it's,
have to remind the rest of us?
Right. But I felt like this was really my optimal time to try it out. Try the... not just like shaving once and then letting it grow back for
but consistently.
3 years. But I'm going to try shaving a little more consistently. So I've gotten one of those double-edged safety razor handles and... some self-warming shave cream and all kinds of other stuff, and it seems like it seems like it might be all right. We will certainly find out. I do not like the way that I look without facial hair. So it's going to be a long and very difficult process of me coming to terms with all this bullshit. And yeah, I feel significantly less handsome. I don't like to feel handsome day to day, so it's really contentious, all mixed up in here. But I got done doing the thing that that I needed facial hair for, which was a supernatural themed photo shoot. That I mentioned, I believe I thanked Bob Alberti.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun. I needed to look like a werewolf, and I did. And now I don't have a beard or mustache. And I really spooked the fuck out of myself looking in the mirror after I got home after a thing that happened today. And I looked up in the mirror and I was like, oh, Jesus, look at all of that face. Ugh. Ugh.
It's the neck. It's the neck for me.
The neck?
Being able to see your neck is just weird for me.
Hmm. Well, I like that it's weirding out salsa.
That is a plus.
Yeah, that's a check in the plus column, but it's also weirding me out, which for exactly the same reason.
Yeah,
I think.
I'm not pro or con lack of beard. It's definitely different.
Mm-hmm.
I think my favorite has always been when you've either shaved it or just gotten it trimmed really, really close.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've always enjoyed that. That's always been my favorite iteration of facial hair as a personal preference.
Yeah. I think that's a super sharp look, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, I'm not used to this, but I don't know that I dislike it.
And I
do like that it weirds out salsa, so.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to give it a little time, To find out if I actually like it, if this is just like a knee-jerk, unsettled reaction to no longer having a beard. What I will say is that I dipped hot wings into sauces, and I only needed one napkin. So that's... that is a dramatic difference. Mm-hmm. So there's that.
Tell me more.
Right. I no longer will find soup from days gone by.
Huh.
I will no longer need worry that a piece of shredded cheese or lettuce from a taco I have inhaled will be squatting in my beard.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking up residence. Yeah. That kind of thing. Also, you know, I'll be able to wash my face. And one of the things I discovered about having a very short was that it was really awful for wearing a mask.
Yeah?
Mm.
Yeah, because mine has a definite bias to it, and it pulls the mask down off of my face, which is a real pain in the ass, and having to constantly pull it back up over my nose really defeats the fucking purpose.
Mm. Right.
So there's that. Got tired of that. So as long as we are in a mask area of time, I will have to probably have it short, like non-existent, smooth, or long, let it grow out and grow long.
Sure.
Mm. So, or just not go outside, which is absolutely an option. Yeah. So there's that. Mm-hmm. So there is that.
I was having a conversation with somebody today about how, like, we're going to all have to get more consistent with our lockdown stuff and our not going out and things like that. And I'm like, I've been pretty much the same since, like, end of April.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I go out for groceries.
Mm-hmm.
I have done, I think, 4, maybe 5 socially distanced hangouts.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But not a lot. And the only other times I've really seen people is if they're, like, dropping something off, and I'm just like, hi, you exist. Waving mm-hmm. at, like, Stefan through a door.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Or when somebody was moving a bunch of stuff.
Weird.
I know, right? Like, that's it. I don't go out for things. I don't.
Sure.
So.
Well, we kind of realized that we were still, like, we had gotten into the habit of one of us going to the pet store to pick up mice for Linguini. One night, the next night, one of us is going to go buy yarn from Knit and Bolt, and
okay.
the next night after that, somebody's going to pick something else up or do a socially, like, and the it's even though we were still being really careful,
sure,
we were getting pretty fucking comfortable, like, sort of sipping that old life of being busy every night through a straw. And that's well, for the first thing, we're not past it yet, so that's a dangerous habit to allow ourselves. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing is that it is about to get a lot worse. So by all projections anyway,
it is the worst it has ever been.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
For us. Yeah, I guess I didn't realize that. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I've just been like, I only go out once, maybe twice every couple of mm-hmm. weeks so that I can keep checking myself for
mm-hmm.
symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like, okay, yeah.
Speaking of which, we just went and got tested, and we can talk more about this later.
Ooh.
But we actually had a very pleasant testing experience.
Was it spit or swab? What?
I mean, a gentleman doesn't ask and a lady doesn't tell, but...
you are neither.
Correct. this one was spit into a little plastic tube and then swizzle it with some preservative and drop it into a bag. I never realized how much spit that would take and how little spit I really have. So I found myself standing there, you know, like, sort of bellied up to the tube, so to speak. It was, like, pressed against mm-hmm. my lips. And I just had to think really hard about a perfectly crafted steak in order mm-hmm. to get the, you know, get the wetness that Ben Shapiro hates so much.
Okay.
What?
I have no idea.
In order to salivate, because I was out of saliva.
Yeah, but we don't know what you just referenced, James.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
That was, like, we understood you needed to salivate.
Yeah.
You did not have a Pavlovian bell.
Mm-mm. No, not at all. So, yeah. You know, I thought about the food at home, and I thought about, like, a really perfect steak, and that helped a little bit, but that was a lot of spit that it needed. So there was that. Not a bad experience. We signed up for the appointment today and got in same day. There was free parking. we went in, we were able to maintain social distance. Even if you go in with a mask, they still provide you a new mask and tell you to put it over your existing mask.
Interesting.
Just to make sure.
Interesting.
Just to be 100% certain. As much as anyone can be, anyway. And then you just go in and hawk a loogie into a little tube and, make a little mouth water cocktail and then drop it off in the bag, put some sanitizer on your hands, and fuck off into the night. Yeah. So, not a bad experience at all. It was at the Minneapolis Convention Center. I can provide a link to the testing site.
Should we take a break?
Yeah, please do. Yes, yes.
I think that's a great plan.
We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter, at AON Podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
I have completely lost the thread of what we were doing.
Well,
we had a thread?
We had a thread.
That sounds like a great time to come back.
Okay. We're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
Oh. I'm Jenna.
Oh, dear listeners.
I'm here.
What are we talking about now?
As part of our lockdown proceedings for the winter, Bryn and I have acquired a Costco membership, which is not something I ever thought I would do.
Really?
Yeah. Well, because it's just I got soured on the idea pretty quickly by Sam's Club.
I see.
Which is okay. A very similar type of a thing. And I used to work for Walmart, and I have grown to dislike them more than I used to. And then I as an extension of that did not like Sam's Club and Costco felt
I got it.
Costco felt like a similar kind of a thing, but I
but not owned by Walmart.
No, not. And we went and we bought $450 worth of groceries, which I mean, ordinarily is a fuckload of groceries, but then when everything is, you know, fairly discounted
in bulk,
then it's even more. Well, and that ended up being kind of a problem, was that I was looking for a jar of olives, and you can't buy a jar of olives.
You can buy a case of olives.
You can buy a case of jars. You can buy like a 55-gallon drum of olives.
Mm-hmm.
But you can buy like a hilarious Donkey Kong barrel filled with olives.
But really the question is, why the fuck would you want olives?
Because olives are amazing and delicious, depending on the type of olive.
That. Yeah. Yep. So there was that. And then we were also looking for like pickle slices and things like that. And they had a couple of different kinds of pickle slices, but none of them were the right ones.
How dare they?
The right ones. So they do have, they have an enormous number of products.
Mm-hmm.
They have a huge store that is chock full of giant containers, but they just, like, if you go to look for a particular brand of flour, you're probably going to be disappointed unless it's the brand they carry.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
But, you know, if you're like every other American and you want to buy a bunch of frozen pizzas, you're in luck.
Yep.
We bought 4 pounds of bacon for less than $12.
Yep.
And that is the American dream, friends.
So what are you going to buy next week?
Yes.
Well, that's the other thing, is we discovered that they have free delivery, and we had been using Instacart.
Do they really?
Especially early on.
I was not aware that Sam's Club delivered. Or,
Costco.
Yeah. You've got me confused now. I was not aware Costco delivered. That's
it, huh. They apparently do, and the threshold for delivery is really low, and it's free, and they will also deliver stuff that you've purchased off the website that they don't have in the store. Things like, we're getting a food hydrator.
Oh.
Yeah.
A hydrator or dehydrator?
Food dehydrator.
Oh, okay.
Your D in the dehydrator is very...
Dehydrator, yeah.
It's a dehydrator, not a dehydrator.
Speaking of which...
The stress is... You put the emphases on the wrong syllable.
It's Wingardium Leviosa.
So, there's that.
Dehydrator. What the
heck? But a food dehydrator?
It's a...
Food dehydrator.
Food?
Not food dehydrator.
But it's how you get grapes from your raisins.
Oh, my God.
It's a rock fact.
For the love of God, James, finish what you were going to say.
Yeah, so we're getting that stuff. But we ended up getting a lot of stuff that I don't know that we would have ordinarily gone out and purchased. Things like pork tenderloin, things like that, which I am not used to making. I'm not comfortable with that, but we ended up buying like an 8-pound pork tenderloin that is...
Tenderloin's easy.
As large as my two arms put together. And I think it was $20.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe right. Less.
This is rather adorable watching you discover...
learn about the world of Costco.
I don't know how to process this.
No,
yeah,
I
so,
know. It's adorable. I love it. I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah. Yeah, but they definitely saw us coming because they talked us into the executive membership.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Now, I have a question.
Yes.
The Costco that you go to, does it have a little liquor store on the offshoot?
Uh-huh.
Okay, here's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You get, number one, you can get the massive things of Ménage à Trois, which obviously you do that. Because Ménage à Trois wine is amazing. But they also have Kirkland brand liquors.
Mm-hmm.
Now this sounds like, you know, oh, it's Kirkland brand, really? Like,
their bacon is great.
Mm-hmm.
So is their whiskey.
I have heard.
I have expounded on this before, but the Kirkland
whiskey. I think
whiskey,
you were the one who was like, yes. "Do yes. it, yeah."
Yeah, Kirkland brand whiskey is, it's enough to sip. It's not like a, you know, super quality sip in whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
It's good enough. But it is definitely on the higher end of the cheapest whiskeys you can get.
Fair enough.
So, recommend.
Okay. I am sold.
Excellent.
Well, and the thing is, like, you can have your Lagavulin and that kind of stuff, your Lagavulin 17, everything like that, and it is a beautiful and perfect way to spend your life sipping that. But sometimes you just want a whiskey that you can put in your beer, and, well, you don't, Jenna, but,
no.
You know, some people do, and...
Some people are weird.
Yeah, fine. Some people juggle geese, and it's kind of difficult to pick those out. So I am looking forward to having Kirkland whiskey, and Kirkland vodka, and Kirkland, you know, everything else. Brandy? Question mark? Audibly placed at the end?
I don't know. I haven't had their brandy. Mm. I couldn't speak to that.
But the rain barrel filled with Ménage à Trois is also keenly interesting. I'm definitely about that as well. I just did not know. And it was a fantastic experience. But
I feel like we as your friends have failed you. Like,
but the thing is, like, people can tell you. People can tell you about places like Costco and Sam's Club and that sort of thing, and then you're like, oh, okay, they're cult members. That's fine. You know, they invited me to their church. I will respectfully decline not respectfully decline, but decline anyway. But the, I ended up going in order to buy food for some friends.
Sure.
And then while I was there, I just picked up like a couple of things. And I've been very pleasantly surprised by everything that I've purchased there so far. And I didn't even like dip a toe into the meats and seafoods area until this last trip.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a shame.
Uh-huh. And this last trip, yeah, we went ham on that, both literally and figuratively. So there's that. We're very much looking forward to that. We definitely had to do some fridge Tetris.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's always the problem.
But I understand, like, salsa, you folks cook almost every night.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And I just, like, I'm trying to wrap my head around that because it's so much. Does it get easier?
A lot of dry goods.
Yeah.
You know, that helps. Rice, pasta, you know, things that go in your pantry instead of your fridge. We also have a chest freezer in the basement for when we
That would be useful.
Have, like, the frozen pizzas just go in the chest freezer in the basement, so they're not taking up room in our freezer. But yeah, when you're making food from scratch, there's less refrigerator space used in general.
But I also we got to walk past the entire bread section because I've apparently discovered the secret to making really kick-ass bread.
Bread machine?
No.
That's how I do it.
No, I discovered what was wrong with my sourdough that was making it not rise and prove properly. And this will be no surprise to Salsa, I am quite certain. But the sourdough was not being given enough to drink. The starter was not being given enough to drink. It was too dry.
Mm.
And so then trying to balance that out with all of the other recipes and everything like that, it just didn't work. But now I can get two really fluffy, beautiful loaves of sourdough from a cup of sourdough starter and then a shitload of flour. But it's the perfect shape for making like egg in a frame or I guess egg in a basket or toad in a hole or, you know, anything else. Bullseyes.
Any other number of names for that particular dish.
That this podcast itself has explored. But I was extremely pleased with that. So while we were at Costco, I ended up getting a 12-pound bag of flour just to make sure, just to be 100% sure that there would be enough flour.
Mm-hmm.
I see.
So, yeah. I'm looking forward to making many loaves.
Excellent.
Yeah, but we've been doing that.
I've been doing less baking lately. Just as my attention has drifted into other things, obviously, but just a couple days ago, I was like, I need to bake something again. So.
Yeah. What do you have on the back burner?
I need to make beignets. I've got a friend who's been bugging me for beignets for a while, and it's just been something that keeps getting put off, and then
like 2 days ago, a entire tray of sticky toffee puddings arrived on our doorstep from them, and I was like, okay, yes, I will give you beignets. So
sticky toffee, toffee, sticky toffee.
Sticky toffee pudding is so yummy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm still waiting for my povertizza.
Who said you're getting any po?
Oh. See, this is when listeners to the podcast will go back to a previous couple episodes before, possibly in the middle of the summer, and be like, "Oh, Salsa totally promised to make povertizza for Jenna."
Did I, or did Jenna just assume?
Well, you know what happens when you assume.
That means Jenna is correct.
Yeah,
you
probably.
You are sometimes correct. Jenna's always correct, though.
Right,
so
thank you.
You'll just have at some point remind me of everything that you're allergic to, and I will see what I can do.
Fuck, that's going to take me a while.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what he's counting on.
Just long enough for me to forget again.
Yeah. But it's been kind of a weird experience preparing to sort of bunker in again.
Did you get rice?
We already have rice.
Okay. Rice and flour are good things to have.
Well, and I'm like, between the two of us, I'm really the only one that eats rice, but I'm also the one that eats the most. So
I suppose I
kind of works.
I wasn't thinking, of course you would have rice in the house.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been making rice without using a rice cooker, which is just not the same. It's good. It's fine. It's fine. But it's definitely not, it's not what I'm used to.
Right. Have you seen all of the videos of the Japanese people watching Americans cook rice?
Oh my god. That's gotta be amazing.
They're so good, because you know, they've got the American cooking shows, and they're like, we're gonna, you know, take this pot and put it on the stove, and you're gonna do this. And they're like, no.
Why?
What are you doing? We invented rice cookers for a reason.
Trust the people who eat the most rice.
Exactly. No, it's like all of the you know, chefs are just like, oh, we can't use rice cookers. We're gonna make it on the stove, which is the right way. And the Japanese are like, no,
no,
don't. Why would you do? And then they're like measuring out and doing this. It's just like, no, your finger. You put up to your finger, and that's how much. Why are you?
Every time I try to explain that to somebody, they're like, no, but really, like, how much is it supposed to? And I'm like,
to put your
that's
finger
the
in
correct
the
amount. Yeah, because I worked for years in Chinese restaurants.
Yeah, no, I know. It was just, and, it was,
and they were always like, this is the correct measurement. But yeah,
so,
no.
There was that video a while back of the BBC lady making fried rice, and it was I think the guy was like Uncle George or something, but this Chinese American who like very thick accent, just like one of his kids was like, hey Uncle George, you need to watch this. And Uncle George is watching this, and he is just horrified by everything happening. He's like, metal in a nonstick pan? What are you doing? And that is way too much. What? You are straining your rice? What? And
yeah, if
like,
you're straining your rice, you've fucked up.
One
all
of
this stuff.
One
and
of the, oh, sorry.
Wait. Wait, let me finish this one, though. So I sent this reaction to Joe.
Okay.
And he has an uncle that is very much so like Uncle George, actually. And just the whole ranting and raving and everything. And Joe would start ranting, and then Uncle George would start ranting right along with him. Like, it was It was so good, you guys.
No, I like one of the similar videos I saw was like she started cooking it, and the guy was like, "Are you not gonna rinse your rice? Like, is that not a thing that you're not gonna do that at all?" And then she got done cooking the rice, and the rice is soup. It is still like underwater, and she's like, "And now we take it and we pour it into a strainer." And he's like, "What the? If you had done the finger thing, you would have been just fine right now."
Right.
And
yeah.
They like, you know, my God. So they pour the rice through a strainer to get all the water out, and then they're like, "And now we're gonna rinse it." And he's like, "You don't rinse it after you cook.
No.
What the fuck are you doing?"
This might all be the same video.
And there's more than one. There's more. There's many. I've seen. I've fallen into a rabbit hole of with these one day. There's many videos, and all of the complaints are the same. But yeah, they all start with, "We invented rice cookers. Use them."
Yeah.
Why are you fucking with this? Just use the rice cooker.
Using. My favorite thing with a good rice cooker is that it will come with a steam tray.
Yeah.
And so you make whatever steamed vegetables with that too.
Sure.
And then you have a complete meal functionally. You make some steak.
It's almost like well designed.
The rice is and I just So go ahead.
As Jess and I have been going through things to split, as we split in a separate household. One of the things that I looked at, we were talking about kitchen appliances, and I was like, "And Jessa, I'm pretty sure you get the steam or the rice cooker." And she was like, "Yes, I need that rice cooker."
As long as you get the coffee maker, I'm okay.
Well, no, that was the thing. I was like, you can pretty much have your pick of any of my appliances except for the coffee maker. And she's like, "I don't drink coffee."
Your coffee maker doesn't make hot dogs. I don't want it.
Right.
That's
But I was thinking of getting a Ninja. My brother actually just sent me a link for it. The Ninja pressure cooker. It's like a food cooker of various types, and I believe
like
you
the
can
Instapot
do rice.
Thing. Yeah.
Yep. Mm. Very similar type thing, except not the brand name.
Yeah.
The food dehydrator, at which I've been looking.
Look at that enunciation.
There are two that I've been looking at. One of them is nothing but the dehydrator. The other one is an Instant Pot with lids that swap out. So it could be a pressure cooker, it can be a rice and vegetable steamer, and it can also be a dehydrator. And my concern with that kind of thing is anytime you buy a device that does too many things, it does them about half as well as a dedicated machine.
Yeah.
But I have to balance that against my hatred of buying things that only do one task.
Absolutely. I completely agree. Yeah, it's you don't want to have things that are single use, but when you get something that does 27 things, it does none of them well. Yeah.
Right.
Honestly, like, because my new, hopefully, knock on wood, haven't signed a lease yet, but my new apartment has such a tiny fucking kitchen. I think I'm gonna have to get appliances that do more things. Like don't have a place for anything else.
Now, is this a kitchen that has the dining room attached as just like a little open square under a ceiling fan?
A little galley kitchen.
Yep.
Yeah.
A little dinette, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
And are you gonna jam a table in there? Or are you going to use that for extra kitchen?
I don't know yet.
Fair.
I literally do not know. I've debated. Fair. Some of it is going to depend on which furniture Jessa takes with her, too.
Also that? That makes sense.
So, yeah, like I have a lot of different ideas for different variants of furniture that I have, but...
Mm-hmm.
Nah.
Yeah, until you're there with what you got, you don't know.
It becomes a traveling salesperson problem if you have too many possibilities of different sets of furniture that you get to use. Yeah.
Yep.
It might be because, like, I became acquainted with food processors and then fell in love with that. And a good food processor will have a thing that you can swap out to make it a mixer, to make it an ice crusher, to make it a bread dough mixer.
Well, my Ninja IQ does all of that.
Right.
Yeah, my Ninja IQ has the different things for the various whatevers, including grinding my coffee beans.
And
and mixing dough and everything else. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I don't inherently have anything against devices that have adaptability. But I definitely have qualms about, like, this toaster also makes your eggs. As cool as those things are.
Yeah, that's a little meh.
There's a difference between this does something different, but in essence it's doing the same motion. You know, it is still rotating a thing. Whether that be mixing or grinding, it is still a rotation action. Versus, like you were saying, it's either a pressure cooker or a dehydrator, and those are exact opposites. Like, one keeps the moisture in and that's how it cooks, and the other one gets the moisture out. Like, those are exact opposites of each other, and that's where you really fall into problems is when they're inherently doing something different.
Right. And it's without knowing how much other people like it, and especially reliable sources, I don't think that I can do that, but I also super want a rice cooker. And I do have other single-use appliances. I have a toaster, which really just does the one thing. Like, a microwave is a defroster, and a cooker, and a hundred other things.
I've been thinking about, like, what is my minimum on appliances? And I have to have a coffee maker, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think, and I already have the Ninja IQ that does the 18 million swirly bit stuff. swirly choppy.
Mm-hmm.
And then a microwave. And then I think if I got the pressure cooker and a toaster oven, that would be it. I think that's all you really need. And I also have a bread maker. And I'm lazy, so, like, that is a thing. But now I'm starting to get into more and more things, and I'm like, where am I going to put it all in my tiny-ass fucking kitchen?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Where do I put it all? I don't know. So.
Yeah. I find it really difficult to get a toaster oven and have a regular oven.
Mm.
But it has a purpose. I have a toaster and a regular oven.
Mm.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Like, I do have a toaster right now, and I'm just like, I think Jess is going to end up taking that with her, and I'm fine with it, because the last time I made toast was like a year ago.
By accident. She was trying to make ramen, and toast happened.
And suddenly
very
toast.
Weird. Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Should we take a break?
Yeah, we should do that.
Okay.
All right. That's one thing that we do well.
No, it's not.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
I don't remember anymore.
I mean, yeah, I can be a hypocrite if I want to.
I did a
no one else should, but I definitely
joke
James, let me paint your picture.
And I was just like, oh.
This is a really broad brush comedy.
Okay.
Oh my God.
If we're going to frame it this way.
Are you going to have a stroke, Salsa?
It's bristles.
I've heard about pearls before swine, but I really feel like that's not what the pig meant.
I think we can just chalk this up to, you know, a poor moment in time.
Oh my God. Why?
Something something Mondrian.
Yeah.
That's...
You know what they say?
You're a Renoir. What?
You know what they say? Now museum, now you don't.
I'll be honest, some of your jokes were docent.
I find this entirely unpalatable.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
Damn it, I knew you were waiting for it, too, you motherfucker. I hate you both. You're assholes. Fuck
not
you.
Not wrong.
Fuck
I'm
you.
I'm James.
Fuck you. I'm angry.
Here's the secret, ladies and gentlemen. Throw enough puns Jenna's way, eventually she will relent, and that's when you start
them.
A podcast.
Even if you don't have one, that's the time to start a podcast.
I have an image to maintain. You are just destroying everything.
It is so some days. You know what else is good?
What?
A Fast Five.
Fast Five.
Today's Fast Five comes to us from Ash. Stedham.
Stedham.
Ash says, hello. There is no opening
hello.
For this. Other than I am writing on an empty stomach at the moment. Oh, no.
Oh.
Ooh.
All of the food talk is probably going to cure that.
There's going to be no food talk. You're going to be real disappointed, and it's all just, like, color-based.
Here for it.
All right, here we go. Question number one. Cloud or banana boat? I prefer cloud as my sunscreen.
Banana boat. Do, 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 do.
Banana boat. Do, 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 do. Banana boat. Do, do, do,
do. I know that Salsa has like a skin sensitivity hatred thing happening, but
anything above the temperature of 70 degrees.
Well, the same. But I, being intensely ginger, have no choice but to put on sunscreen very regularly for about half the year. I will get sunburned in the spring. Mm-hmm. So there's that.
Yeah, I've got that farmer skin that I get a burn early in the spring, and then it's just brown for the rest of the summer.
I used to. When I was a farmer.
What? Okay.
Oh, really?
Back in the day, I feel like there was ingredients in banana boat that I could not use on my skin.
Was
but I
banana?
Don't remember. It's not a banana, awkwardly
it's
enough.
It's a boat.
It's a boat. I have
She's
a
allergic
skin sensitivity
to boats.
To boats.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They will
it's
heal
a sensitivity,
her.
Not an allergy, Salt.
Oh,
all right.
Okay. Sorry, that was highly insensitive.
It was rude. It was rude. That's fine. Whatever. But no, I feel like there's something in most banana boat products that I cannot have on my skin. And if I do sunscreen, it's usually copper tone.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't sunscreen that often. Honestly, I should. I'm a 40-year-old smoker. I should probably. whatever.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
My wife yells at me every time we do anything in the summer, and then I just shrug at her.
Or the winter.
I don't need sun.
She just yells.
Specifically about...
She's not wrong.
She's not. No, she's completely correct in every instance. I'm not trying to say she's like, no, she's right. all right. Question number two. Pho or curry?
Yes. I've never met curry.
I can't have most curries. So, pho.
Oh. Yeah. That's a tough one. No, just one pho, not fa-fa.
There was that week, or 2 week period, when I lost my other pho.
Either pho or curry. This is honestly a really tough one. I love both so much.
I think my favorite food that I've ever had in my life is winter melon curry. And so I have to go with that.
Fair.
See, I feel like there's greater variety with curries.
Sure.
I mean, there's a lot of variety in pho, but it's still, in essence, the same thing. But that having been said, you go out for pho, and I get full.
It's messed up.
I'm going to go with curry, I think.
Okay. Two curries and a pho.
That's my new sitcom name.
I was just going.
All right. Question number three. Oh, goddamn. Tikka masala.
You were worried we weren't going to talk about food.
I wasn't worried.
Or butter chicken.
Tikka masala, because I've never had butter chicken.
I can't remember what's in tikka masala, but I feel like there's normally stuff that I shouldn't have in that.
Yeah, I think that's got coconut.
Is that coconutty?
Maybe.
Probably a fair assumption that anything you eat can't be eaten by you. Wait, what?
Awkward, but accurate. I'm going to go buttered chicken.
I like buttered chicken, but I think a tikka masala I love it. It's good.
Yeah.
All right. Question number four. Ketchup or mayo?
Mayo.
Now I've just got the song in my head.
Ketchup or mayo? Ketchup and mayo.
Mayo for my fries, mayo for my burger, mayo for my sandwiches.
Mayo. I agree with Jenna 100%.
That's weird.
There is nothing.
If I had to give one up.
We've had this argument in the past. There is nothing that ketchup can do that is not done better by another condiment.
Yeah.
It can be made into a cheap soup.
Or you could use a different condiment. I don't know where you're going with this, James.
Well, I was going to say, like, you can reconstitute it in a way and make it into an extraordinarily cheap tomato soup, and they did that.
Yeah, but I also don't like tomato soup. Reconstituted ketchup tomato soup sounds even worse to me somehow.
Yeah, that doesn't. I feel like your argument is not going in a positive direction.
James, how did you make ketchup less appetizing?
By watering it down.
And then boiling it.
No, put ketchup on hot dogs or anything? No, fuck that. Use barbecue sauce. French fries, mayonnaise. Hell yes.
Yes.
It's like, ketchup is useless.
I told you guys about... No, I do remember telling you guys about this now because I couldn't get you guys to stop innuendoing. But making mayonnaise with Jill.
Yep.
Yep.
Question number five. Sugar or salt?
Salt.
For
salty foods to sugary foods.
I tend to go sugary. Although it depends. It depends. Oh. Do you like sugar cookies or sea salt? Like a sea salt caramel.
Sea salt. Sea salt caramel. If I'm going to bake, I'm going to make things that require salt, probably not things that require sugar. I almost never make desserts.
I have a bit of a sweet tooth, but it's not like I really can't stand most like Hostess or Little Debbie snacks. Like, they're so cloyingly ugh. But like something with honey or...
I love honey as a sweetener.
Yeah, like, yeah. Exactly. Like I.
Agreed.
It's a more earthy sweetness. Mm-hmm. It's not so saccharine. And if it's a saccharine sweetness, then I can't stand it.
Literally.
But you know what I mean. That having been said, I do have a bit of a sweet tooth when it comes to like chocolate or.
I enjoy some uses of chocolate. I don't think of myself as being like a huge fan of chocolate in the way that other people honestly are.
I don't know if we can be friends anymore. Sorry.
Hot chocolate is amazing.
You were friends before with him?
Also that. but I love hot chocolate. I love chocolate milk. I eat chocolate. I love dark chocolate. Like, we went to Salsa and I, when we were working at the same place, went to a chocolatier in St. Paul, and they had like 98% pure dark chocolate. And that was one of the best things I've had.
I do like a lot of dark chocolate. Because most dark chocolate has less milk in it, if any. So yeah, like obviously milk chocolate is going to have milk chocolate, right? Bizarre, but true. So yeah, dark chocolate tends to be my go-to because it's going to be less oogly, but
sure.
I still just, yeah, I want the sweetness. I miss the sweetness.
See, I actually don't like most dark chocolates. Not most dark chocolates, some dark chocolates. I like some dark chocolates. But, like, give me, like, hot cocoa au mail. Where they make, you know, hot chocolate with honey.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. I'm going to go salt, I think. I've decided. I'm going to go salt.
Okay.
All right.
All right. All right, we open up the second email, and we jump straight into it. Question number one, cloud or banana boat? Which dessert sounds better to make at a campfire? A cloud is a biscuit filled with marshmallow, chocolate, and caramel. A banana boat is a banana with a channel cut in the middle with peanut butter and chocolate, and then cooked. That one.
They both sound
That one sounds
fantastic.
Delicious and also awful for my body.
Probably terrible for your body.
I mean, they're both probably are.
So I think I'm going to go cloud.
I think
it sounds rather s'morish.
Yeah.
With caramel, yeah. Speaking of which, I made s'moreos a few weeks back. Fucking great.
We still need to bake Oreos into chocolate chip cookies. Or into just sugar cookies.
Mm.
Trust me, it deep fries the Oreo in the butter from the cookie. And it will change your life.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Banana Boat.
Yeah. I'll go with Cloud also, because that sounds better to me, too. I can't turn down marshmallows.
I love marshmallows.
I can.
Yeah.
Quite
Banana
easily.
Boat. Banana Boat.
Question number two. Pho or curry?
Mm-hmm.
Which dish sounds better to eat on a cold day?
Pho. Soup.
Trying to take my allergies out of it, I still think I would go pho.
For a cold day, I would do a curry.
Like, I get the appeal of both of them on a cold day, but
soups and chilies for cold days. I love a good soup.
See, but if I feel like a pho is, it's got a broth, whereas a curry has like a sauce. You know, and I feel like a sauce is something that sticks with me a little bit more.
I get that. Although I am much more on the soup train. On cold days.
Right on soup train.
Great. Question. Question number three. Tikka masala or butter chicken?
Okay.
Which dish should I make for dinner tomorrow?
Oh.
Tikka masala.
Ash, I think tikka masala is what you're going to be making.
I'm actually pretty sure it's tikka masala.
Mm-hmm.
Let us know how it went.
Mm-hmm.
Question number four, ketchup or mayo? If you had no other choice, which condiment would you use with every meal for the rest of your life? Mayo.
Mayo. Yeah.
All right.
Mayonnaise.
Question number five, sugar or salt? Would you rather give up sugar or salt for 6 months? Sugar.
Sugar. Sugar. 100%.
Yep. Buy sugar.
I did keto. I gave up sugar.
James
for
has
months.
Literally done this, yeah.
No, but you give up salt and all of your food tastes like nothing.
Ugh. God. That sounds like a hellish ordeal. The word salary, the word for that we use for paying someone for work done,
salt,
comes from salt, because people would literally work for salt because of its importance. I just don't. I don't think I would ever give that up.
No.
As much as I love sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I'm not like as huge. I don't often salt my French fries. I don't salt a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Like on impulse. Like sometimes I'm like, oh yeah, maybe I'll add salt to this. But I'm not a huge salter.
Sure.
But I still feel like I would give up the sugar, sadly. I would just be better for me if I did.
Also bad.
All right. If you would... Oh, by the way, there's no wrap-up or anything. Just
Ash is in a hurry.
Yeah, no, and I appreciate that, by the way. Thank you. I did send out a call just as we started recording for Fast Fives, and two people responded, and thank you to both of you. The other one shall be next week. Dun, dun, dun.
It also means that we need more.
We do need more, yes. If you would like to send in a Fast Five, by the way, and we do need more, please send two emails to salsa@aonpodcast.com. The first one should include nothing but the choices, and the second one, repeat those choices, and then give us context. Who's got a plug?
We all do.
Yeah, we do. Because we're at the last week of Give to the Max. And I want to see Salsa Jazzercise like nobody's fucking business.
Also that.
No, I'm not doing that.
No, you're not in that one?
No.
Oh, well then.
Dark days.
Next best would be Tim Wick Jazzercise.
Yeah, so that I would watch. But at the same time, of the three of us, the one that needs the most help would be James.
That's accurate.
That is a constant truth, but also a specific one in this moment.
Yeah, both generally and specifically.
Our team is in the lead right now, and of course mm-hmm. we would like to stay that way because we are the superior team. But throw James a bone, because he desperately needs it.
Gross. Gross.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll post links to that in the show notes.
Nice. If you are wondering what to do with your Black Friday, because going out and mobbing shopping malls and stores is, I want to say, usually a bad idea on most Black Fridays, and is in fact the worst fucking idea this Black Friday, why don't you stay home and tune into Vilification Tennis? I'm given to believe that we will be doing a show entitled Vilification Tennis Works from Home. And it is going to be fantabulous.
Yay.
I have seen the lineup, and I am deeply excited to watch.
Yay, I might have so to there's do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. If anybody wants to help me pack boxes, I'm not actually going to take your help because COVID times, but I appreciate the offer.
Yeah.
You can still offer.
Mm-hmm.
That's all
also,
I have.
If folks do donate to Dungeon Drawlers, my Give to the Max team, and if they write a dedication to me, specifically, for donations that are greater than $5, I will write a little dungeon epic for you. An incredibly stupid adventurer name with an incredibly stupid life or death based on the flip of a coin.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. So far, I think several people have gotten incredibly dumb names given to their little adventurers, and they have seen their adventures. So far, no one has died.
What? And
I am accidentally lending incredible luck.
This is Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead.
Yes. Here's the situation, is that out of everyone that I have written one of these four, I have flipped tails every time.
Hmm. Wait, does that mean that Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are alive?
Yes. Yes.
They're
dead.
Yeah.
Because
it was heads.
They're alive.
Yeah. Also bad.
Okay.
So it's been deeply troubling to get tails every time I flip this coin. I have tried other coin.
Do you have one of those?
Now I want. I was about to say, now I want Rosencrantz and Guildenstern, but it's James and Rue.
That would be amazing. I would love that.
Mm-hmm. Have I told everybody about the newest episode of Curtains Unfurled yet?
You have not.
I've heard rumors of
okay.
it.
Yeah, a new episode of Curtains. It's been a while, but, you know, I told everybody that this was a side project and on no schedule. So, but mm-hmm. episode 3 of Curtains Unfurled is out, and this episode is with Gregory Parks, a Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus trained clown. Among other things, and it's a really good conversation. We talk about
nice.
Not only do we talk about, you know, some of the his own personal like philosophy on stuff, but we also get into like the social responsibility of clowning and things like that. It's nice. It's quite fascinating. And the guy's been doing it for damn near 40 years or something like that. So, I mean,
he's just amazing.
He knows what he's talking about. So,
yeah.
It's really good. Go check it out. Anything else?
Yes, I would like to say bye-bye, love you, bye-bye.
All right. In that case, thank you so very much for listening to the episode. Thank you to Ash for, you know, answering the siren call and sending us that Fast Five. We really, really do appreciate it. On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
Take it away, Salsa.
Cha.
Cha, 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 cha.
Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.